Welcome, everybody, to That Weird Show, and I am your host, that one weird guy that you know, The Shadow. And before I go any further, I do kind of want to take a moment and try to deal with a couple of things, just to make sure that everything is going good. And, let's see how tonight goes. Now, I don't really know what to talk about tonight, because when it comes to the weird, there's so much to talk about. And I don't mean weird like, you know, the Uncle Joe Biden walking around the family barbecue with no pants wanting to sniff kids. I mean, that's a whole different weird in its own. But I'm talking about the kind of weird like monsters and cryptids and UFOs and Walmart shoppers with bad taste of fashion and hair style. But, you know, that's just me. If you have something that, you know, if you have a topic you would like to discuss, you know, feel free to let me know and drop something in the comment. Or if you would like to be on the show while it's up and running, come on up and we'll see what happens. But, you know, as I mentioned before, it's kind of hard to decide what to talk about when there's so many weird things out there. And if you read the news, you'll find there's plenty of things to talk about, you know, unusual archaeological discoveries, unusual astronomical discoveries, and things like that. But when it comes to, like, really weird stuff, you almost have to go running down a rabbit hole that, you know, nobody else wants to go down. But, you know, that's just me. And I'm the kind of guy who likes to run down those kind of rabbit holes, mostly because the things you find can be so interesting and so mind-blowing, but you have to kind of have to take some of this stuff with a grain of salt, because, I mean, let's be honest. As wonderful as the internet is, it can be full of some of the most harebrained people you will ever meet. The kind of people that can take a trip without ever leaving their home. So, before I go any further, I have to do this, you know, just to be professional. This show is being brought to you by Breakaway Media, which is a personal graphic design venture that I started not too long ago. I do all kinds of graphic design, whether it be logo, shirt design, thing for videos, intros, whatever. Get a hold of me on Facebook and tell me what you need, and maybe we can come up with something that is beneficial to you, as well as, you know, your viewers or your listeners or whatever it is you're trying to do. And in that same, you know, topic, I do have this new thing that I started with, doing fully editable ad that you can download and you can upload it into Photoshop, Affinity, GIMP, or any other kind of editing program, whether it be a standalone program or a web-based program like Canva. You can download any one of these in the PSD format and edit them however you need for your purpose. And again, completely editable. Now, you can find these at payhip.com/breakawaymedia. They are only $5 each. And eventually, I will have a special where you can get a bundle of three for $7. And I am not sure when that will be. I do need to get my inventory built up. But if that's something you're interested in, again, payhip.com/breakawaymedia. The link is in the description. And speaking of links, there is another link that you should check out if you're not already looking at it, and that is for Parapost Network Central. This is a podcast platform where you'll find all kinds of shows, not just paranormal ones. They are starting to branch out into other fields of interest, but, you know, check them out. And if you have your own show, reach out to them, because Brian Laverty and any one of his staff will reach out to you and help you get your podcast on this network. And best of all, it is completely free. No sign up, no nonsense, just get on. And last but not least, this is something that has just recently been added, and I've had the chance to talk to Brian about this, and I am going to be getting this myself. But if you're looking to improve your health, or at least another way to add to the tool in order to help you improve your health, whether it be cognitive, losing weight, energy, boosting your immune system, whatever it is, check out healthempoweredyou.net. Right now, they have a PDF of over 200 smoothie recipes. And if you use the promo code, let me get that up here quick. If you use the promo code, you can actually get 25% off. And there it is at the bottom of the screen. Promo code is GGH25. Again, you put that code in, you'll get 25% off the cost of that PDF. And that basically breaks it down to $4.50 for 200 recipes. So check it out. Because everything we do in our life could always use a little extra help. Now, if you see me looking down at my phone from time to time, I am trying to keep an eye on the weather. We are expecting some rough stuff coming up here pretty soon. And what's interesting is when it comes to this kind of weather, you know, if you're in the paranormal field, this is the kind of stuff that you see and, you know, you sit in the dark and you hold the light under your face and get that spooky look. And then you like to tell a ghost story, the kind of story that'll make your brother and sister not sleep for a week, which usually ends up you getting grounded for a month. But, you know, that's just brother and sister. That's what siblings do. And also, you know, when I woke up and I saw this weather and I knew it was going to be stormy today, but all of a sudden, a friend of mine sends me a message that he saw something on the way to his job. And the storm by itself is nothing, but when your friend sends you this picture on their way to work, you know something's about to go down. Because these guys don't show up just for a good time, you know. I mean, not that there's anything, you know, wrong with having fun in Minnesota, but come on. Ecto 1, right before a storm hit, there's no such thing as coincidences. All right? So, but, you know, whenever you come across something interesting, you know, and you read it or you do your research, and you can't help but wonder, where did it all start? You know, I mean, one of my favorite things that I've kind of gotten into over the years is lost civilizations. And, you know, you hear people talk about how the timeline of human history need to be reexamined and pushed back further, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, a lot of time when, you know, like, for example, we all have been taught that the earliest known civilization is ancient Sumer. You know, the Sumerians have the cuneiform text. They talk about kings and rulers that were, that had reigned or, dynasties that lasted for tens of thousands of years. I mean, this is some weird stuff. But they also say that the kings were not of this earth, that they were from heaven from which they came, which translates to Sumerian language, the Anunnaki. And there's a couple other things that's interesting about that word, Anunnaki. And if you look at the, I want to say the Anasazi, or the Hopi Indians in the Southwest United States, they have supernatural beings that they refer to as the ant people. But what's interesting is that in their language, the word Anu and Naki means ant and friend. You know, and of course, this is something that, you know, most people aren't going to want to talk about, because then that just, you know, it kind of throws a few things into question. Like, one, did ancient Sumer and the Anasazi Indian or Native American, did they communicate? Was there some sort of interaction at some point in the distant past? You know, and then you also have over in the UK, I want to say it's Ireland or Scotland. Forgive me if I forget. But they have the Golden One, which they call Tuatha De Danann. Now, there is a possible theory that the root word for it, Dedana, is actually Dedanu, which again, Anu, from ancient Sumer. So they believe that there might be a possible connection. And yet, again, it just kind of go back to my original question. If human civilization does go much farther back, and there was much more interaction between the people across these oceans, when did that happen and when did it stop? You know, I'm always amazed when I come across stories about new discoveries in archaeology that completely changes how we think of these things. But when you look at how mainstream academia responds, that almost aggressive push to shut down some of these ideas, it's disturbing so much in the sense that when you think about the reasons why mainstream academia would shut down a lot of things, now I understand that they do it sometimes because the evidence just is inconsistent or it's fake. Fair enough. But when you have evidence that is not inconsistent or it's not fake and everything does line up, why wouldn't you examine that and at least be mature enough or professional enough in your field to say, hey, I might have been wrong. We need to re-examine this stuff. Göbekli Tepe. That is one of those things that, you know, it already has thrown the human timeline or the timeline of human civilization into question. Because this site predates the earliest known civilization, even the pyramid. And, you know, you look at the water erosion around the Sphinx. If you place that at a time when the Sahara Desert was able to have that kind of rain, you know, Göbekli Tepe and the Sphinx would have been built thousands of years before the pyramid, thousands of years before ancient Sumer. Now, we also know that there have been cosmological events or astronomical events, comets and asteroids that have collided with the Earth, which had been, you know, fairly well proven to have decimated all kinds of life. But not only could it have decimated life, but couldn't it have completely destroyed or changed the landscape to such a degree that no matter what civilization was emerging or thriving, everything would have been completely wiped out? And even if you don't believe that a comet or an asteroid could have completely destroyed a civilization, you got to think about what happened afterward, because we all know that once these asteroids and comets hit the Earth, it changes the climate, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for years, sometimes for centuries. One example is the Younger Dryas event, which they believe triggered the melt-off of the last ice age. And if you think about that that glacier moving across the landscape before the Younger Dryas event, the amount of weight that would be on the Earth, the amount of force it would take for that glacier to move across the land, completely bulldozing whatever is in its way, whether it be mountains, hills, building, city, civilization. I mean, all that would be completely ground to nothing. So there wouldn't be any evidence left, even if it was made of stone. But what happened before all that? I mean, before the glaciers came, what happened to these civilizations? Where were they? Why is it that when you look at places like Göbekli Tepe or any other ancient civilization, there is a common thread where you find all these people saying that they were taught how to build, they were taught mathematics, they were taught language from strangers, whether it be from the skies above or from across the sea, somewhere far away. And is it really that far of a stretch to think that when, if you were somebody who had no knowledge other than to hunt and to forage for berries or roots, and you barely have a sharp stick, You don't know how to sew your clothes together. I mean, you just wear the fur. Somebody comes around and starts speaking in a different language and starts writing things in the dirt and starts teaching you how to build things. Wouldn't you see them as gods? Because there's a famous science fiction author, and I believe it was Isaac Asimov. Any civilization that is advanced enough, or any civilization that seemed beyond what you see, would appear to be like God, which is very true. And I'm only paraphrasing because it's been a while since I've used that quote. But how is it that mainstream academia today is so closed-minded to accept or at least examine the possibility in which ancient civilizations existed prior to the Ice Age, and that there's no evidence left behind because of natural disasters? And we have scientists who have done all kinds of computer models to determine how long it would take for a big place like New York City to completely disappear, to leave behind no evidence. And the reality is, it doesn't really take long at all. Now, it might seem like it's a long time to you and I because our life expectancy is so short. You know, we can't really foresee a couple hundred years in the future, let alone 1,000 years into the future. So the idea that New York could be completely disintegrated into absolutely nothing and have no evidence behind except for maybe a couple of stone structures, that's hard for us to think about, to wrap our heads around. But that is a very real possibility. That is a very likely scenario, that anything left behind, if humankind were to stop existing, if there is anything to be ever be left behind, it would be things that we made out of stone. Foundation to old building, provided that nothing major happened, like a comet or an asteroid, or even, you know, just kind of another strange theory, but the polar shift. And if you don't know what the polar shift is, the polar shift was a theory that was put forth by several people, but it wouldn't be until the early 1900s, or right around the 1940s, 1950s, I believe. It was written by an author, Charles Hapgood, and he explained polar shift. And this is where every so often the magnetic poles of the Earth shift completely and then snap back. And the effect of this is the crustal displacement and the force in which everything, I mean, you got to imagine, it's like when you spin a basketball and you bounce it and then it spins back. That instant stop, whatever is around on the surface of the Earth, it's going to be obliterated. And if anything does survive, it is not going to be happy. Because not only are you going to have to deal with the first shift, but you're going to have to deal with that shift when it snapped back. Land masses will change. The shape of our continent, the way the Earth sits around the surface of the water, all that is going to change completely. Nothing is going to be where it was before, and nothing will ever be the same again. Mount Everest might be just a foothill by the time the shift stops. Who knows? But if there's evidence of that happening, and we're only starting to realize that civilization may not be as new as we think it is, I'm left with the question, have we been here before? And if we have, how many times has civilization been completely obliterated, leaving behind no trace, or something so small that we wouldn't even recognize it, you know, which kind of go to, you know, add on to that whole theory. If you ever watch Ancient Aliens, one of the theories they talk about is places like Pumapunku, you know, Egypt, other ancient civilizations, what we see, we carbon date it to what we have recently found based on the organic material left behind. But what if these places have been recycled and repurposed, and that some of these places are much, much older than we thought, but we can't see how far back it goes, because every time the next civilization comes in, they rebuild everything. They clean everything. They scour everything. They start over. They just use what they have. And if that's the case, then of course, all the evidence would point to just a few thousand years ago. But then you start to look at other evidence, like the Piri-Reis map. The Piri-Reis map is one of the most perplexing maps that we have, because it showed the coast of Antarctica without ice hundreds of years before the first recognized documented expedition to Antarctica took place. But also the fact that on the map, there is a notation that says that the resources, the information for this map was taken from older references. Unfortunately, it doesn't say exactly what those references were or how old those references were. But again, how long has civilization been around? How many times has it risen and fallen? How many times has humanity evolved and de-evolved? Which, sad to say, kind of what we're seeing now, if you watch anything on the news or check anything out on Facebook, you know, all we are just a bunch of lowbrow apes with a bunch of shiny, flashy toys. So many things to talk about. So many bizarre things to get into and read. You know, I saw some... I just have to say this. I saw somebody put up a post that humans and apes share 98.5% genetic material. Proof that we evolved from apes. Yeah, okay. You realize that we also share 97.5% of DNA with mice. So, why aren't some of us looking more like apes and some of us looking more like mice? Or how about the fact that the way the human brain is set up, they now theorize that some of the characteristics of a human brain, it comes from reptiles. Now, I know that a lot of people like to use that as an excuse to call some people a snake in the grass, which we know it can be true. There's a lot of con artists and snakes, and they're usually in politics and in the legal system, but there's so much that we allow ourselves to be restricted inside of a little four-walled structure. You know, we call this the truth. And the problem is that you can't define truth in a sense of parameter with things like, you know, well, we share 98% DNA with chimpanzees. And that doesn't matter. Because first off, the common DNA similarity that we share with other species on this planet doesn't say that we all evolve or everything is going to evolve into some sort of hominid or whatever. No, that's not what it means. It simply means that this is how life has to be set up in order to survive on this planet, in this solar system. The genetics have to be right. And that's why you'll find a lot of common genetic characteristics between not just humans and chimps, but humans and a lot of other animals around the world. And of course, there's also the argument that, you know, that 1.5% that people like to just casually toss off to the side, that 1.5% is what gives us Mozart, what gives us Einstein, Tesla. You know, it gives us Da Vinci. It gives us Oppenheimer. It gives us Stalin, Hitler. You know, I mean, that 1.5% can account for so much that mainstream academic evolutionists, they're just willing to just throw that out the window so quickly and so casually. And yet we always tell people, you know, that 1% can make the difference. That one tiny little possibility that can be the game changer, not when it comes to human evolution. Because people, they do not want people to think that humans are so special, so unique. Now, I understand that, you know, when you look in the grand scheme of things, like the cosmos, the universe, when you look at all the billions of stars, when you look at all the planets, and then the possibility of life elsewhere, and if you like to go by the Drake equation, the possibility of intelligent life out there, you know, it would be foolish for us to think that we are so unique. But how do you explain to somebody, how do you explain to an ideology that is supposed to be open-minded, and yet they are so dogmatic, just like any other type of organized or institutionalized religion, how do you propose an open or potentially game-changing theory to somebody that just does not want to hear it? Well, I don't think you can. I think that's just one of those situations where the best thing you can do is just walk away. But unfortunately, with my experience in the paranormal field, nobody does that. Everybody's willing to beat each other over the head until they've developed a sworn enemy or they've destroyed somebody's career, reputation, whatever. Whether you're a religious person, a scientific person, or an alternative person, you can't teach being open-minded and tolerant if you're not willing to practice it yourself. But I think I am going to call it that because the skies are starting to get dark and I don't want this show to completely blink out. But if you do like this show, be sure to hit that like, subscribe, share, follow, whatever else, and help me grow this and make this something successful. And I have a profile on not just Facebook, but I have a YouTube channel. The link for that is in the description. I also have an Instagram where you can follow me and I do a lot of posts and updates on there. And again, Parapost Network Central Health Empowers You are in the link down below as well. So check them out, show some support. Yeah, I think we'll just kind of leave it at that. But I'm always willing to talk to people about the weird stuff. And if you ever want to come on this show, you know, feel free to message me. And if you want to get the audio of this show, you can find this audio on Spotify, iHeartRadio, RSS, Apple Podcast, and Amazon Music, I think. I'm going to have to go back and check. But also RSS, if I didn't mention that. But yeah, you go over there. You can download the episode for free. I personally like Spotify. Spotify is very easy. It's a great platform. But the others are great as well. So pick whichever one works for you. And as I always say, be smart, be safe. And be kind to one another because you never know. Your one act of kindness might change somebody's life forever. And we'll just close it out with Dancing Alien. So stay weird.